is that I was praying about that, and I said, Lord, that's crazy how I just went into this mode of commanding. And I said, boy, that takes a lot of faith. And you know what he said to me? He said, son, anointing is that I have faith in you. You place your faith in me, but anointing is I sent you to the world. Jesus said, go make disciples of nations. Did Jesus go to the nations? No, he bound himself geographically. He bound himself time, 3 years. He said, I do not count equality with God something to be grasped. He was fully God, but he took the form of a servant. He took the form of a baby. And then in his ministry, he said this, it is better for you that I go. What kind of leader says that? Why? Because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and he's going to live in you. In fact, let's turn there to John 14 and talk about this. I know I was talking about my book, but anyways, that's what the book's about. You're going to come into your... a lot of the teaching on anointing is in the Five Fingers book. And this is the book to get to know yourself and your destiny. And this book is how to change the world. Okay? Once you know who you are. And then Anne's CD, she'll be doing some leading today. And this one is basically how to get wrecked and go to heaven. Okay? So that's really kind of the resources we have for you, and it's to serve you. But in John 14, I could read the whole thing, but let's not go do the whole thing, because I want to do actually some of the earlier chapter. So let's just go to verse 9. After Jesus is talking with Thomas, and he says, he tells him actually in verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We sang that today. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. By the way, later on in John 17, Jesus said, I gave you the same glory the Father gave to me. And he says, you can have the same relationship with the Father that I have. He invites you to be one with him and the Father. I'll show you that in a minute. So he's inviting you to be like him when he was on earth, with the same kind of relationship. That's mind-boggling. I have given you the same glory the Father gave to me. Do you think that's hard to believe? It's really hard to believe. Because we want to minimize it. Because we know our shame. But God wants you to know that you're a son and a daughter. And you stand at the right hand of the Father with Christ. Now. It's not future tense. You are seated with Christ now in the heavenly realms. That's mind-boggling. Why do you need to have the intimacy? Because if you don't know the Father and his heart and what he's doing, even in your own life, it's really hard to establish it for others. It's very hard to give something away you don't have. So he says in verse 11, believe me when I say I'm in the Father and the Father's in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. See, some people say, you can't be too healing oriented. You're too focused on healing. No, I'm focused on Jesus. But Jesus is a healer. So if Jesus is healing, I have to say, if it's from God, it's good. So if tongues, I want it. I want anything from God. I want the whole buffet. Okay? And that's what hunger looks like. You're not afraid of what you don't understand. You trust God more. You believe that what he's going to give you an experience. But I'll tell you what, a lot of people live out by what they know, and then if they don't understand it, they don't want it. And there was a shift in my life where I wanted it more, and so I experienced it, and then I tested it by its fruit and by the things, the five things I showed you last night. But very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me, how many of you believe in Jesus? Will do the works I've been doing. And they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. How many of you have done greater things than Jesus? Why not? I'm serious. Why I believe it is he said you would do it. He said, I'm limiting myself on this earth. I'm not saying you're ever going to be greater than Jesus. I'm not saying, hey, last night we did a Facebook Live and I saw five nations that said, we're watching you from Cambodia. We're watching you from Costa Rica. People were saying, we have an age. I want you to understand when Jesus was saying it, I'm limited, but I'm going to send you to the nations. You're going to go and you're going to change the world. I'm going to do the work of the cross, which is the greatest work we believe, and it is for salvation. But Jesus said you'll do greater works. So my false humility wants to fight that. But if I really believe Jesus, I can't sort out the things that I like and understand. And the ones that make me uncomfortable or it seems too great, I have to reject. I literally pray that when I get to heaven, he will say, and they're tested, Mark, you did greater things because you had 25 years. You had many nations. I've gone to 40 nations. Again, I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that I'm greater or that any of us will be greater than Jesus. We're not. But Jesus said, greater works will you do. Was he like flattering us? You see how hard faith is sometimes? Now, I don't think I ever want to go around saying, oh, I do greater works. I mean, that's not what we're saying. But he wants you to want it. He said, if you said it, I want it. I want to be among those. I won't judge it myself. I won't say that I did it. But he will be the one. You know that false humility is so dangerous. So when God told me you have an apostolic anointing, and I learned all about anointing, the apostolic part, I said, really, are apostles for today? And he said, yes, you're called to be one. And I'm saying, that's the devil. I had a hard time receiving it. He said, no, I called you to be one. But he made it easy for me. You know what he said? Never give yourself the title. So there it was established. I never gave it to myself. Number two, seek the function. So that's what I did. I stood in front of the mirror on a daily basis proclaiming, the Spirit of the Lord is on you and you're anointed to bring unity to the body of Christ, to bring comfort to the body of Christ, to bring her into maturity. I just declared the function and I started every day prophesying and declaring who I was. How many of you, who do you think you hear the most? You. Faith comes by hearing. And this is what Anne was saying when she was coming into this. This is what Jesus is teaching you. He's teaching you that I'm in the Father, the Father's in me. I'll show you in a minute. The end of this, the climax, the end here, what he says about what him and the Father are going to do in relation to you is amazing. But you can't skip over this part. How many would like to make it? To help bring a shift nations. You can't show up and go, here I am, little old me, I hope something happens. I just want to be a humble servant. No, when I go to a place and I know they've been praying out for breakthrough and I know that God sent me to that exact city, oh man, I take my sword. Breakthrough. And I chase it with all my heart. Because I want to loosen what God wants to loosen. Jesus told me that he's going to send his spirit, and he's going to live in me, and I'm going to do the works he's going to be doing. And I'm not just talking about physical healings. I think the greatest miracle is that every one of you come into your destiny. That's my message on Sunday morning. It's what it means to love God with all of your soul. It's that eternal part of you, the destiny part of you, that aligns with heaven. It's on earth as it is in heaven. That's what you're called to. That's how you're called to love God. But it starts really with believing Jesus at this level. And I will do whatever, verse 13, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. I was sharing this just partly last night. One of the ways I've grown in intimacy is I'll ask the Lord Jesus, because it tells us in the book of Revelation that he intercedes day and night. I'll ask him, what are you interceding for? So that's number 11 on your techniques. What are you interceding for? What do you want me to ask for? Because Romans 8 tells me that the Spirit yearns with, groanings deeper than words. So I just sometimes don't know how to even pray, as it tells us. But the Holy Spirit is interceding. So I ask the Holy Spirit, tell me what you're interceding for. What do you want from me? Sometimes it's very different than my prayer list was. Okay, it's always different than almost, because what he wants for me is he wants me to come in to the fullness that he saw when he created me. Before he formed me, he knew me. Wow. Before I was born, I was set apart. So I just want to go back. I want to find out what that is. Wouldn't you like to have a prophetic destiny team and all they did was prophesy what God spoke over the womb? Wouldn't that be fun? Because that's where it starts. And that's what Jesus is saying. The Father and I, are one. And you ask anything in my name, it'll be done. Now then listen to this. This is the transition that he wants you to understand. This is all true. You're going to do the works that I've done. You're going to do greater works. You're going to ask me for anything in my name, and I'm going to give it. Because, listen, this is the point, is I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to send the Spirit so that you can be activated in what I've been doing. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father. By the way, love and obedience is very important. The Lord will tell you, how you're hearing your voice? His voice is he tells you something you don't want to hear. I wanted to buy a house one time. Ann and I loved it. We said, Lord, can we buy this house? And he said, no. So we asked again, like he would change his mind. No, I'm kidding. Lord, why not? Why can't we buy that house? It is great. It was in during the crash and with property prices. It was so low. It was a huge house down in L.A. You know what the Lord said to me? You can't buy it. Lord, why? Why? I'm like a kid. Come on, I want to buy it. Like this kind of thing. You know what he said to me? Because I have something better. He wasn't preventing me. He said, I have something better for you. So that's why we need to learn to ask what he's asking for, because what he's asking for is the better for your life. You ever wanted something really bad and you got it and it's like, oh, this wasn't so exciting, This is work. I always wanted a boat. Man, this boat, who's running my life now? By the way, if you love your boat, I wasn't making that. Let's go fishing. Wasn't my point. My point was is that sometimes we get what we want and then we find that it doesn't meet our need. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Paraclete, to help you. Do you see that? To help you. And be with you forever. Anybody here ever struggle with abandonment? Oh, hands went up, okay. Let's minister to that right now. See, the painful thing is you probably were abandoned. I was in Africa, and I was in a village. It was almost all women, young children, just a few men. And I brought, they were starving, literally starving. It's called Bamba. By the way, I just segued. I'm going to minister to abandonment right here because I felt like the Lord wanted me to. And as I was brought this food, this bread and this water, I looked at the faces of the women, and I could just hear them saying, "I'm abandoned." So I asked the translator, I said, "What's happening here? Are these women truly abandoned?" He said, "Yes, they are. Their husbands say they're going to get jobs in the city, and in our culture you can have more than one wife, and they never come back. These women walk up to 10, 12 kilometers, okay, maybe 6 miles to get water, a round trip a day. I'll never forget. I said, "Lord, I can't give them bread and water. I want to change their lives. I want to leave something. They'll never be the same again." Did you hear how I asked? Could I do that? No. Can he do that? Who was he going to do it through? Me. It's all glory to him. It's all about him. But he showed me what to ask for. Don't be afraid to ask for things that are impossible. In fact, I believe when people say, "Gosh, I heard this, it seems so impossible." I go, "Yeah, that's most likely God. The more impossible it seems, it's probably God, okay?" We're not about titles, promoting ourselves. In the end, that doesn't meet our needs. We know who we are in the closet. We know who we are when we lay down at night. So this isn't about anything. It's about performance. It's just about sonship. I have the Holy Spirit, and he's going to help me. He's my advocate. He's your advocate. He's the Spirit of truth. And he's never going to leave you. Ever. I used to, you know, people say, "Well, I don't feel very anointed." And I say, "So what?" What? The anointing remains in you, 1 John says. Never goes on vacation. So here I am in Bamba, and I said, "Lord, what do I do?" And I had a vision. And I saw all these roots coming out of their heart, and the roots went down deep. And it was a water. There were little pools in the one pool, and it said, "The pool of abandonment." He said, "Son, every day they tell themselves they're abandoned. They tell their children they're abandoned. Because they are." He says, "The roots from your heart feed into your heart, mind." It's kind of part of what I'm going to be doing this weekend, tonight. You know what the Lord told me? He said, "Most people that are being wounded today are wounding themselves with their own thoughts." Could you imagine? We're wounding our own heart. Do you know why? Because our heart doesn't know the difference between good and... It doesn't know the mind. It's not... The mind is what knows good and evil, but all the heart knows is whether it's loved or accepted. In fact, your heart doesn't know what's real and what's not about your imagination. That's a little commercial for tonight. That's what we'll cover tonight. And you will be transformed. You will shift your thinking life, and you will have God as the protector of your heart. Why? Because your destiny is at stake. Not your sonship, not your anointing. That's always given to you. So I just started to proclaim to the women, what's the truth? What did Jesus say? I will never leave you or forsake you. We need to take all these roots out of that water of abandonment, and we need to put it in Christ. How do we do that? We renounce the lie and replace it with the truth of God. The truth of God is, I will never leave you or forsake you. But you need to have revelation. I can't just sit up here and tell you. So I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to come with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, and you're going to encounter Jesus now, and he's going to tell you that I'll never leave you. I've never heard such wailing. How long did it last, Ann? 40, 45 minutes? Or it was just, I've never heard such wailing. Couldn't do anything. Just had to wait. They were on the ground, wailing. When they got up, they were different people. The next day when I went, I didn't even recognize those ladies. Because they encountered Jesus. And they realized they would never be abandoned again. Let me pray for you. I just pray right now. I'm so sorry the ways that you've been abandoned. And I don't want to minimize that. But see, now, Jesus is your rock. You belong to him. When I was learning to journal, he would say this, I am all you need. I am your portion. You belong to me. So I pray right now, Father, that there would be healing. I bind any spirit of abandonment. And I just pray right now there'd be a breaking off. The roots would be pulled out of those memories. We'd stop rehearsing any of them, any words spoken, any memories. We put them now in Christ. And we say, from now on, when any of those thoughts try to come, I will go to the Word. And I will ask Jesus, what do you say? Was there a physical injury that you had, this woman here? Yeah. Yeah. In Jesus' name, I speak and I say, you look back and that was when your identity and life shifted. But the Lord says, today, I'm shifting it again. There are seeds in your hand. You have the heart of an evangelist. And the Lord says, you are my beloved daughter with whom I'm well pleased. This one here that raised her hand, I heard the word foster. Could have different meanings. I don't know if you were in foster care or if you've done it. Foster has to do with being nurtured, though. You're a nurturer. And I just see you nurturing so many. And the enemy wants to hold you back because you've just felt like, I want to be nurtured the way I nurture others, right? Yeah. And the Lord says, right now, I'm going to nurture you like that. And I loosen revelation. You're going to have visions of Jesus. You're going to be a piglet. You're going to hog a lot of ours. You're going to get them. You're going to have amazing visions of Jesus. Are you artistic? Yeah. I saw you painting or drawing or doing things related to your visions. Listen to this. The Word, the Spirit of Truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him. Listen, this is very, very important. It neither sees him. What is that? revelation. They're without revelation. They don't have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So they don't know, they can't see or know him. But you know him, for he lives with you, listen to this, and will be in you. What would you would look like if you really lived in this, like in this, these verses all the time? Move over, Benny Hinn. No. It'd be just like, okay, son or daughter, father, what are we doing? He always likes to say, well, I want to love you first. You know, I always ask the Lord what he wants to do, what he wants to give to you. I prayed for you today. Some of your faces came, but you know what he always wants to tell me? He just says, I want to fill you today with my spirit and with my love. I want to anoint you with fresh bread and fresh oil. Someone brought donuts today. Someone brought me a donut. Thank you. And I thank you that it wasn't a week old one. It's fresh. You're having some healing right now. You're getting some healing. Yeah, you. Yeah. Which leg? Okay. Leg, are you hearing this? You belong to Jesus. You must come in alignment with the blood of Jesus. Just heal it, Lord. I just see just a creative miracle right now. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And listen to this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Now listen to this, there's a shift here in the text. You're going to have the Spirit living in you, but listen, I'm not leaving you for good. I'm coming to you too through the Spirit. I'm coming to you. See, he started this text with, do not let your heart be troubled. That's very profound. I'll be talking about that tonight. Like, what do you mean, don't let your heart be troubled? Like something I do. Yeah, it is something you do. This is how you do it. I will not leave you as orphans. I was a pastor and I thought like an orphan. I pastored 20 years like an orphan. I apologize taking an offering. Now I give around 25% and I am not bashful at all to ask you to come into maturity and to come into your destiny. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And not about sowing seed, because if you went to a farmer and said, did you plant any seeds this year to get any harvest? Ah, no, I didn't plant any seeds. I'm just hoping it'll grow. 2 Corinthians 9 is not about planting seeds. That's elementary. It's about you are so generous because God is generous with you. And you're like him. By the way, this isn't about money. This is about lifestyle. I want to be like my father. I want to be like him. I want to be like Jesus in every way I can. Because he lives in me and he'll teach me. He's my advocate. He's the spirit of truth. He'll show me how to be more like him. And he'll do the work, which is so awesome. Because I can't do it. Isn't that exciting? He's the one that will bring the healing. He's the one that will bring the fruit. And this is the way it is. I will not leave you as orphans. How do you know if you have an orphan heart or orphan mindset? You think you have to do everything on your own. You can never ask anybody for help. You feel like you're being a burden to other people. You don't really tell hardly anybody your real needs. That's orphan thinking. That's not strong. Strong is interdependence, strong relationships that can change the world. Anne doesn't speak because I think, well, you know, it's fair. She should get something to speak. She speaks because I believe she carries something that I don't and that you need. I believe in her and her anointing. And right now, I'm like, say, run, girl, because I feel she really has something to give. It's hard for orphans to work that way. Well, that's a whole other topic. But this is really the main heart of where I wanted to go. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is if you really get revelation on this, it's mind blowing. You're getting invited into this place of intimacy with the Son and with the Father through the Holy Spirit. Listen to this again. You will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. Listen to this. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. What are we talking about when we're talking about wisdom and revelation? We're saying this, in other words, Jesus and the Father want to show themselves to you. They want to show you who they are, who the Trinity is. Where are the teachers? There's Bible teachers, but where are the teachers who show you how to enter into this reality of this verse? Well, my wife is one. And I know God wants to raise up others in this house to do it. Do you know that people love prophetic words? Hindus love it. They have 200 million gods, so what's one more? You see any Hindus run and prophesy to them. They'll love it. Serious. They're very aware of the supernatural realm. My point is here is that the Lord wants to reveal himself to you. So how does this impact you? You ask the Lord to show himself to you based on this verse. You say, okay, I'm in the Father and I'm in you, and I want you to show me who you are, what you want to do in my life. You know, Anne, again, she doesn't really like it when I boast on her. But I'll never forget, my wife loved to sleep. She's a great sleeper. I mean, if she could get 10 hours in, it would be great. We didn't have kids yet, honey. But anyways, we had kids, and we started to get this change in the spirit. That, remember I told you last night, if you weren't here, my wife went down, and she had her first vision of Jesus. And so soon thereafter, one night, I got up to go to the restroom, and I noticed that the closet light was on. It was like 3 in the morning. And I turned it off, and all of a sudden I hear a voice from the closet, "Can you turn that back on?" I look down in there, and there's my wife. "What are you doing on the floor in the closet?" And she said, "I wake up, and Jesus, he's wooing me. He wants to tell me who I am, and he wants to tell me about himself. He wants me to pray for things." And I knew it was God, because she wants to sleep, you know? It's like, you know, a couple years later, she comes to me and she said, God told me to go worship at the church every day. So we were pastors, and 2, 3, 4 hours a day. She would tell the Lord, I'm not leaving until you show me something more about you. She'd tell the Lord that. She'd come home, just sharing just a fraction. It was like, really? You saw that in heaven? You saw heavenly places? She says, yeah, I'm seated with Christ in the heavenly places, so I go there. She literally told me, I'm going to go to heaven. I thought it was weird. My theology hadn't caught up with that yet. She wasn't going around telling everybody, I'm a prophet, I'm important, I hear God. She was just saying, I just need healing. I just need to know him more. Do you want revelation? We talked about this last night. It's a pursuit. It's a pursuit of him. But just oh, you know, I do well laying down and saying it's hard for her, but I'll tell you, a lot of times I don't get up right away. Most days, I wake up and I press in. I say, Father, what's on your heart today? What do you want? What do you have? What do you want today? And it's different every time. Sometimes he wants to talk about other people. Today, the first thing as I was praying, he brought up a pastor that has been wounded and just wants me to reach out to him. And then I was getting the fresh bread. Praying for you, I saw many of your faces. So I know that that's what he's doing. I'm here. We're here together. He's touching you. He's answering your prayers. You've been praying. You're gonna receive a lot of the things you've been asking for. They're getting released. How do I know? Because that's why I'm here. I don't go to places just to give a message. I go to release something. We've all heard enough sermons. I mean, I'm not saying we don't need more sermons, but we need more encounter. And worship, and the way that your leaders are doing it, they want you to enjoy the messages, but they want you to know God. Steve doesn't, and the team don't want you just to worship passionately here. They want you to go home and passionately worship. They want you to be worshipers. They want to equip you and train you how to worship. So you'll go home and dance in your room. And you'll look like a crazy maniac in the car. Like, what is that person doing over there? You know, like. So one of the chapters in my book is on fathering. And I share how I had been an orphan. How I overcame an orphan heart. I had to be fathered. And I have spiritual fathers, but I believe every true spiritual father doesn't point you to them, they point you to the heavenly father. Because guess what? Your spiritual fathers in the natural, your spiritual mothers, will not be perfect. Their role is to just point you and reflect the nature of the Father. When I look at Pastor Carlos, I literally was showing him this morning. I literally saw him. We wanted to go to Burgerville. I think that they thought that was weird. But Mary and Barry Shakes, and, you know, that's pretty common, uncommon for me. So, but I just literally see, when I see him, the heart is bigger than his body. It goes like this, way out here. And, I mean, just such a big heart. I look at Pam. She is a steward. Anything she's given, she will, to the last ounce, she will be a good steward with it. Amazing. So they're imparting something. You know what the Father wants to show you? He wants to show you what you impart. Why? Because he's the giver of all good gifts. Have you ever asked yourself what you impart? Oh, it's very important. Because every one of you, every single one of you, impart something different. That's why we have team ministry. That's why we have fivefold ministry and all the combinations thereof. How do you know who you are? It's the Father who tells you and speaks identity. Did your earthly father continually speak value, purpose, destiny into you? Does anybody? Yeah, you did. It's a few hands. Yeah, that's good. So what happens is now we have to learn to have the Heavenly Father nurture us and tell us who we are. So I've spent a lot of time getting to know my Father. And he's my provider. And he has some amazing purpose and dreams for us. And it's different than my relationship with the Son. And my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I have a relationship to all three. In fact, and if you looked in your life, there's the one that's the strongest and one is the weakest. And there's a reason for that. It's not a science, but we know one of the women that we raised up out of Rock Creek has based her whole ministry on this. And if you have a hard time relating to the, it's not, this one isn't as hard, relating to the Heavenly Father, it usually has to do with father and male figures in your life. If you have a hard time relating to Jesus, it has to do often with your relationship with your mother. And if you have a hard time relating to the Holy Spirit, it has to do with a relationship with yourself. This isn't a science, okay? But it's revelation that she's helped people to look at, why aren't I closer to this person in the Holy Spirit? Because how many want to be close to all three, right? And so try to think right now, okay, which one am I kind of weakest with? And then make a pursuit right now. Okay, I'm going to get closer to the Father. There's great books out there. Like I said on my chapter, I think it'll really bring healing. But there's other better books than mine on the topic dedicated to it. And really, really, this is revelation that will come. You know, there's in the prayer last night of Ephesians 1, and we talked about spirit of wisdom and revelation. The next verse says, May the eyes of your heart be enlightened. And it goes on to talk about what he wants to enlighten your heart with. One of them is hope. The second is the riches of what you have and who in who you are and who he is. And the third is the incomparably great power for those who believe. Man, He wants your eyes of your heart so he can give you hope in everything. He wants to give you eyes in your heart so you will know that you never lack anything. You have everything you need. God has provided everything you need to fulfill your destiny. He doesn't give you a destiny and then doesn't provide the ways to do it. Doesn't mean that you might not have to come into it. But he's already releasing. He's already spoken over your life. The riches. And then the incomparably great power. You know, one of my favorite things to do is I love to drop people off like you in villages. And I just put my hands on you and I say, go out and go after the deaf and the blind. A lot of people come back. Common. I saw five today. If I saw five deaf ears open. Never seen one, but I saw five today. Or two. Guess what? That's powerful, right? You know what's really powerful? It wasn't just the deaf ears. That village, because you went, has more hope, more joy, more life. Why? Because you know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know exactly what he's going to release. And you know how to hear his voice. And you go and you're going to bring exactly what they need because you have heard the Father tell you what he's going to do. You know where it started? It started with you laying on your bed and you being in the closet. And you started to believe him. And if he tells you radical things, instead of going, no, you say, Lord, just like a 15-year-old woman said, who'd been God wanted to overshadow her, a virgin. And she said, may it be as you have said. And a 15-year-old became pregnant. Did you know that right now, today, God wants to take a seed that he's been wanting to do in you and to birth something in you? And all you have to do is ask for more of him and to know him. That's why we do what we're doing. We want to be in his will. We want to know his heart. All right, we're going to start doing, I want to shift into some ministry. Gonna pray for you. Who knows what the Father's gonna do? Why don't you just pray for a moment? Just, by the way, you can close your eyes, keep them open. I don't, in our tradition, I think I found that most of the time when I'm prophesying, I keep my eyes open. But when I'm really just kind of trying to focus, try to see with the eyes of my heart. Now, what does that mean? It means you have faith to see in the Spirit, not with natural eyes. So put your hand on your heart and just tell the Lord, Lord, you told me I could see by the Holy Spirit, I can see you, and that you want to reveal yourself to me. I want that. My goal is to know you better. It's not anything else. I just want to know you. So I ask that you open the eyes, my spiritual eyes of my heart. Now let's just try it, okay? Anne said to look for Jesus' face. I often do this with children that are afraid. They have nightmares or they see scary things in their room. This is what I do with them when the parents bring them to me. And I'll tell you, over and over again with children, right? Unless we come with children. Look right now with your spiritual eyes. Try to see Jesus' face. Now, for some people, if that's hard, I tell them, look for his eyes. Don't be afraid of imagination, okay? People say, for example, can the demonic impact imagination? Absolutely. You have thoughts and you go, well, you know that's not you, you reject it, right? So if the demonic can try to impact your imagination, then why can't the Holy Spirit? In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to give all of our mind to Christ, let him take it captive and make it obedient. So don't be afraid if your imagination is involved. The Holy Spirit will come and take over the imagination. So let's go back. Let's try to see his face. If it's hard to see, try to feel his presence. If you can see his eyes, what do they look like? What are they filled with? Just, again, don't beat yourself up if it's hard. Just keep pressing in, okay, Father? What? Or the Son, Holy Spirit, whoever you want to address, all three, whatever. Say, what do you want to speak to my heart today? Just start to tell him, I receive it. I receive that. I receive your love. The Lord was showing me, like, one, there was a grandparent in here. One of the things, your greatest concern is one of your grandchildren. And the Lord was speaking to you right away. I want to give you peace. I'm holding that child in my arms. Give you my strength. You know, business person here is asking, the Lord wants to give him strategy. I'm going to give you what you've been asked, strategy. Just you start writing this stuff down. Just start writing it. What, Lord? Okay, I'm gonna receive this. I'm gonna believe it. Say, Lord, I ask you to show yourself. You told me that you and the Father will reveal your love. You'll love us and You'll love me and you'll reveal yourself. I ask in this next week, I'll have just encounters and reminders of it, and you'll show me your hand. And then you can do this corporately. The Lord's been talking to me about East River. I'm increasing your anointing to break off addictions. That's what he told me. Not just counsel them, but truly the anointing to break it off. He spoke that. He loves your heart for those who have been addicted. He said, I'm sending you leaders. People with stripes on their shoulders. And you'll recognize them and they'll be released for this next wineskin. I do say this in love. He also said that I am raising the bar for leadership in this house. That's, by the way, it's a loving word, okay? Because if he's going to increase your authority in a region, then you need to get more stripes. And the more you get stripes, the more authority you have. I mean, that's just a given. So that's what he means by raising the bar. I'm going to give you more authority, and you need to know how to carry that authority and what that authority looks like. What's the largest Asian population in this area? Do you know? Okay. I want you to find out because the Lord's going to give them. Korean? He's going to give some. He's going to give you a very strong Asian group in under your care. Don't always think that your next step is in your language. I know a Korean pastor, the Lord told him, I want you to start an English service. He goes, Lord, I have one problem. I don't speak English. The Lord said, it's not a problem. I do. He literally used Google translation with his sermons and announced a service. I think 3 months later, he was larger, double his Korean congregation. When you start asking God for strategies, see why, if we know how to get it for our own life, it starts translating to everything you do. I was just doing it as you were doing your exercise for you. I've been asking the Father what he wants to impart. So he, just like Haiti, he's going to give you a greater cross-cultural dimension locally. Mm-hmm. So find a small, struggling Korean church, for example. Bring them in. Yeah. Yeah, maybe they have a big building and a small church. Okay, that would be great too. I'm not going to go into the building thing very much. I need to talk more to your leaders on that one before I'm released to say much. Other than I've been seeing different places in the city. So, might be multiple. We'll go there later. We don't need to worry. But I will say, if you have a burden for it and you have finances, I'm not saying they're formally doing it, but if the Lord's asking them what you're supposed to do, I think there's one or two or three of you supposed to be a symbol of faith for the future. And you're supposed to give a very large gift. And you're just going to say, this is a declaration that when it's time, we will not lack. Okay? I'm allowed to do that one. I stretched it as much as I possibly could. But because, by the way, I'm here to submit to their authority. I have no authority in this house unless it's under the authority of this house. Okay? I call it global. The global comes to serve the local, to increase them. Can you just feel the marinating that's going on? We're just marinating in the Spirit. Why don't we have some prayer time too? And we'll probably, you know, we're gonna afterwards we'll take a break and start trying for lunch. And so we'll probably stop ourselves, and lunch is already okay. So why don't we do that, and then we'll have the soaking prayer encounter and then tonight. You know, I think that'll probably be easier, don't you think? Because for lunch transition. I just want to say this, is that it takes a lot of faith to believe God. Because he's so radically in love with you and thinks so much more of you that it takes a long time to really comprehend that he's that excited about you. Remember when I said, look at Jesus' face? I was expecting, you know, like seeing this, because I love it when I look at him and he's got this loving face. So just now when I said, let's look for Jesus' face. So I saw him and he had the biggest smile on his face. It was like he was at a party. And he goes, isn't this fun? That's what he said to me. He goes, isn't it great? My people are so hungry. I love them. I just want to celebrate. That's what Jesus did just now when I saw him. He was celebrating you and your hunger. He was just like, he was just gleaming. He had the hugest smile on his face. It's like, I'm so pleased with them. They're bringing me so much joy. And I want their joy to be complete. Tell them I have so much more for them. They're barely just touching the surface of what I have. That's what I saw and heard. I feel like there's a very significant, the woman there in the coral colored, there's a very significant shift happening in you right now. You feel it? I want you to believe what you were thinking you were wanting to believe. So I feel like the Lord's saying, that was me. That's me. And I'm releasing that right now. I'm ending, Carlos. I know how to marinate. I know. I just feel it. Let's just close in prayer. And or any of you guys, if you have anything, I just want to release. I know we had to noon, but we don't need to have to take it right to noon. But I just want to pray for you again. Father, right now, I just pray that you would just release your glory. Lord, we know that when you said that we would do greater works, that it doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form that we would be greater than you or that we'd replace. My heart and our heart is that we just want to do everything you prepared for us. We don't want to fall short of the privilege that you're calling us to. We want everything you have for us. The full measure. Ephesians 4, the full measure. We want to be mature. We want the full measure of Christ that you've given us. And we don't want to be hindered. So we need the eyes of our heart to be open. I don't need you to show your hand, but I hear the Lord said that there were several in this room that have tried to commit suicide. And the Lord said to me, today, that spirit that came against you has been overcome. You are an overcomer. And now you're going to restore lives. You're going to have a season of acceleration now, where I'm going to show you what to ask for, and you're going to receive it. And you're going to establish foundations for others. I'm also supposed to release and increase in the healing anointing in this house. I'm increasing the healing anointing. Can I do that? Yeah. Just giving what I have. I increase the healing anointing. I see people with any kind of blood issues. Receiving healing. Like an infusion. Transfusion. I think that's why Ann had spoke so strongly on the blood of Jesus today. I release in the natural a manifestation of healing in blood diseases. I ask, Lord, there'll be remarkable testimonies of blood healings in the next month. Just like remarkable. Anybody here have a blood issue? Okay. Why don't you guys come forward? We're going to lay hands on you. Then we're going to close. We're just going to close with that. And then you guys want to pray with them? Anybody else you guys want us to call forward? This time we're just going to call certain ones forward instead of just pray for everybody because we're going to go to lunch. But I want to pray for those with the blood issue. Can you guys come? Raise your hand. Yeah. You know, we don't need to be shy, too, about this. I mean, it too. But if you felt like, that the word about suicide and you want prayer to really go to another level, I want you to come. I also want people who I feel like right now anything to do with head injury, any kind of head injury, I just feel like the Lord really wants to do some pretty radical signs and wonders so that people will know that these words are true. I want to cry out for those. It affected, there's a person here that impacted vision. I want to pray for that. Do you guys have anything, Ann or Derek, Leslie? All right. So we're going to pray. And if those fit you and you just kind of wanted to wait. But anyways, are there any instructions regarding lunch? Okay. Why don't you do that and then we'll close and...